Morning to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 8. The book of Acts, chapter 8. I'd like to read the first 13 verses. Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time, there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. They, that is the church which was at Jerusalem, were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. The first three verses we just read, for the sake of background, we see that in these verses, Saul, who wanted to stamp out Christianity, wanted to stamp out the name of Christ and everything that Christ represented, he was an avowed enemy of the cross of Christ, and we see here that he was very zealous in persecuting the church, which was at Jerusalem, going from house to house and dragging men and women away from their homes, mothers away from their children, fathers away from their children, husbands away from their wives, wives away from their husbands, casting them all in the prison. And as this persecution intensified, we see the church of Jerusalem and churches of Lord Jesus Christ were, as they were driven from their homes, they were scattered abroad. They went into the regions of Judea and Samaria. And we read that they, everywhere they went, they preached the word of God. Then beginning with verse 5, we read specifically of Philip. And we read that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the remainder of our text shows how the gospel came to the city of Samaria. And in this message, we want to consider two points. First of all, the condition of Samaria when Philip went there, which is a picture of the condition of our society, certainly a picture of our country today. And then secondly, the answer that for the remedy that Philip took to Samaria with him. The subject of the message is the only message of hope for today's world. But notice, first of all here, the condition of Samaria. Because what we read here of Samaria is a very, very accurate picture of our country. Very accurate picture of the world. Samaria, of course, first of all, was made up of Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans were a mixture. We read basically of their origin back in 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 24 through 33, and you can read that sometime. But following the Assyrian captivity, there was a remnant of Jews left in Samaria. And the king of Israel decided that what he was going to do was he would send a whole host of Gentiles into that area and the result and mix them together with these Jews. So you have some Jews and a whole host of Gentiles, and eventually these two would intermarry. They would have children. As a result, you had a people that were partly Jewish and partly Gentile. Now, that was not only true concerning their physical descent, but it also became true intellectually, and it certainly became true spiritually. There was a mixture. A mixture of what the Jews believed and a mixture of what the Gentiles believed. As time went on, these Samaritans would have a vague belief in God. They didn't deny God, but they had a very vague belief in God. And the Samaritans continued to have a certain amount of right teaching. But there was also the elements of the Gentiles. There was also the elements of pagan teaching, pagan ideas. And all of this resulted in a carnal or pagan outlook. And this paganism only increased through time. Now, it was to that people that Philip went and preached the gospel. You have a mixture. That's true in many aspects today. We have a great mixture. For the most part, in our country, we have a vague belief in God. Mixed with that vague belief in God is all sorts of pagan ideas. And within our country, we have, for the most part, a certain amount of right teaching, but mixed in with all of that is a lot of pagan philosophy. And the paganism, the pagan ideas only increase as time goes on. So we are represented by the people of Samaria. Now, it doesn't take a genius today to figure out that the whole world is in trouble. I mean, we are in trouble. It is a world of evil. It is a world of wickedness. It is a world of sin. We live in a world that is vile, and it's becoming more and more vile all the time. It is a filthy, degrading, and abominable world. Everywhere you look, you see these things. As a result, the world is a place of pain. There's more pain today than there's ever been. There's more suffering, more sorrow, more confusion than perhaps there has ever been. And I believe as you look at Samaria, you see these very same things. First of all, notice in verse 7 that there were unclean spirits. There were those who were possessed with unclean spirits. There were those who were possessed with demons.
Now, the reason they're called unclean spirits is because they're unclean. They are vile in their language. They are vile in their thoughts. They are vile in their imaginations. And they are vile in their acts. And when these unclean spirits take up possession of a soul, that soul becomes vile in their language. They become vile in their thoughts, in their imaginations, and in their acts. And we are living in a world where there is an ever-increasing number of people that are affected and that are inhabited by demons. Demon possession today is real. Demon possession today is rampant. I believe that demon possession today is more rampant than it was during the days of Jesus Christ. And I believe it'll continue to get worse and worse and worse. You see, if you have any knowledge at all of demons, if you have any knowledge of all of how demons work, all you have to do is open your eyes and it's everywhere. Ephesians 6 and verse 12, we read that we are surrounded by principalities. We are surrounded by powers and spiritual wickedness. And these principalities, these powers, this spiritual wickedness enters into men, enters into women, enters into even boys and girls, and takes up their abode in them and takes possession of their personality. When that happens, you have a world that's in trouble. And that's where we are today. Now, there were many in Samaria, and likewise today, who were under this influence and control of unclean spirits. This, of course, led to unhappiness. You'll never see anyone who is possessed by a demon that's happy. They'll always be unhappy. And they'll always be miserable. And you read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will find many accounts of individuals who were demon-possessed. And the very same signs of demon possession then still are today. We need to move on from that. But we live in a day, let there be no doubt, we live in a day of demonic activity. And Philip went into Samaria, as he did, there were many who were possessed with demons. We see also in Samaria that there was great misery and suffering. Again in verse 7, we read, and many were taken, that is, they were completely under the power of palsies, and that were lame. That is, there was disease, there was disablement, there was pain, there was suffering, and there was death. These are the things that characterized Samaria. We see also there were being offered false remedies. When Philip went into Samaria, he's going into a place of pain and agony. He's going into a place where demonic power is influencing the lives of the people. And people are suffering from disease, and they're suffering from sickness and death and sorrows. But they were being offered false remedies. And that is also true today. Now notice these false remedies are typified in this man, Simon. Notice what is said of Simon there in verse 9. He giving out that himself was some great one. Samaria has all of these problems, and this man, Simon, causes people to believe that he's a great thinker. He's a man of great intelligence. so intelligent that he understood what no one else understood. Simon was a man who had a solution. Samaria was plagued. But Simon promoted himself as a man who had the solution. There were the problems of demon possession. There were the problems of sorrow. And no doubt there was anxiety. There was disease. There was overall misery. And Simon stands up and he says, "Listen to me. I know how to deal with this. I can fix this. I have the answers to all that which plagues Samaria." And what was his remedy? Well, notice again verse 9. "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time," that is, before Philip got there, "in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria." So here was the remedy. He used sorcery. Notice in verse 11, we read he had bewitched them with sorceries. This was his remedy. So, what is sorcery? Well, all through the Bible, sorcery seems to be a mixture of a lot of things. A mixture of philosophy, a mixture of superstition, a mixture of magic, and drugs. When you go over to the book of Revelation, chapter 19 or chapter 13, "they neither repented they of their sorceries." The Greek word is pharmakeia. It's the very word that we get our word pharmacy from. So wherever there's sorcery in the Bible, there is the use of magic, there is the use of drugs. It's all connected with the occult. It all goes back to demon activity. Sorcery. Sorcery is back in this world today. Sorcery is prevalent today. In fact, we are being told that that's the solution. There is a drug for everything today. I don't care what it is, there's a drug for it. We live in a day of sorcery. And people would much rather take a pill than perhaps do other things that would truly help them. Now, don't go from here and say, "Brother Dan's against all medicine." Now, you can think that if you want, but that's not what it said. But we live in a day where there is a pill for everything. Take this pill. It'll fix your problem. No, it won't. No, it won't. No amount of drugs will fix what is wrong with this world. No amount of drugs will fix what is wrong with our society today. But that was the answer of Simon. Sorcery. That was his remedy. That's the remedy of many today. We see also that the people were bewitched. We read in verse 9, he bewitched the people. What that means is that he simply cast a spell upon them. He had control over their minds. That is very prevalent today. We live in a day when people are bewitched. People are under a spell. They are under the spell of humanism. They are under the spell of the world's philosophies. There's all kinds of spells, but their minds are being controlled by that which will never help them. And we see that was the case here in Samaria. So in a world of turmoil, a world of upheaval, people are being bewitched by humanistic, by evolutional thinking. which has infiltrated every aspect of our society. You can even sit down and talk with many of God's people, and I'm telling you, they're under a spell. They are under a spell of humanism. They do not think right. They do not act right because they have been bewitched. And that was Samaria. And that is our world today. But then perhaps most serious of all, the people pinned their faith. They believed in that which would not work. Notice verse 10. To whom, that is Simon, who used these sorceries and bewitched the people, to whom they all gave heed. Everybody listen to him. Verse 11, and to him they had regard. They regarded what he said. They respected this man who used these sorceries. They were saying, again, we see that he made himself out of some great one, and they said in verse 10, this man is the great power of God. I mean, does this sound familiar? We see they were saying, this man, he has something. Oh, he has something. He has something that can really, truly help us. This man, he makes sense. Well, it's pretty bad when something makes sense to those who are absolutely ignorant and under a spell. We see what we read here about these people in Samaria and their condition is nothing but an account of where we are today. The reason for all of this is when a people reject God's voice, they do that time and time and time again. Romans 1 teaches and other places teach that God eventually leaves them to their own folly. God eventually leads them to their own blindness, and they believe absolute stupidity. And they put their faith in absolute stupidity. And the people here, they gave heed to Simon. They had regard to Simon. They pinned their faith on everything that Simon said. People today, they are at the end of their rope, and they'll believe anything except what makes sense. In their agony, in their pain, in their delusion, they clutch at anything and anybody that offers them a little ease, that offers them a little deliverance, a little tranquility, that offers some solution to their problems. And they will believe a lie, they will believe a fraud, and they will believe a deceit. And that was what was going on in Samaria. Again, verse 10, and they all gave heed, and to him they had regard. People today have rejected the simple, the absolute, the fixed, the immovable, the unchanged, the inflexible truth of God. They have rejected that. They have rejected it as foolishness. They don't want to hear it. That's foolish. But instead, they'll listen to Simon, who makes absolutely no sense at all. But they pin all their faith on Simon. We live in a country that is pinning all their faith on a bunch of idiots. That's the truth. They are pinning their faith on absolute stupidity. And that's what they've pinned it all on. They've pinned their whole future on nonsense. Because someone has come along and offered them a little tranquility, a little ease. The result is, we have witnessed in our lifetime, as we've said before, the death of common sense. We've witnessed it. We've witnessed the death of common sense in raising our children. It's not rocket science. It just takes a little common sense. Problem is, there isn't much common sense today. We have witnessed the death of common sense in the courtrooms. It's not rocket science. But we have witnessed the death of common sense in our courtrooms, in our government, in the House of Representatives, in the Senate, the Congress, the President, I mean, right on down the line. We have witnessed the death of common sense. We have witnessed the death of common sense when it comes to voting people in office. And listen to them. Listen to people talk. I'm telling you, they're under a spell. They're under a spell. Their minds have been controlled by that which is evil. We have witnessed the death of common sense in every aspect of our society. As a result, people give heed, people give regard to that which is corrupt, that which is abominable. And the result of all of this is lives are in shambles. And stupidity and ignorance is at an all-time high. And it seems to get worse and worse as the days go on. And I believe that was pretty much the condition of Samaria, and it is certainly the condition of our world today to a much greater degree. But then notice the message that Philip took to Samaria. In verse 4, we read that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching. Two very important words. The word. Doesn't say a word, it says the word. Verse 5, that word is described. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. May I say that is the same message of verse 4. The word and Christ is one and the same. It's the same message. The phrase, the word, and the message that Philip preached to them in verse 5 was what Samaria needed to hear. And it's what the world needs to hear today. We don't need to hear a bunch of airheads. That's not what we need to hear. We don't need to hear the philosophies of man. What the world needs to hear today is the Word of God. It is a very definite message. It is a very particular message. The Word. The very word "the" is a limiting term. They had a very particular word. In other words, the message that Philip preached was not a vague message. It was not ill-defined. It was not uncertain. It was definite. And he went down to Samaria and he preached and preached and preached. This is what you need to do. And that's what we need today, is this same message. I know today that the world considers it foolish, but it is the only thing that will work. The only thing that will work is the message of God. And Philip went down to Samaria. He preached this message. We see in verse 12, he preached the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. You know what it is to preach the kingdom of God? It is to preach the principles laid down in the Sermon on the Mount. The world needs that today. I mean, if we got down to practicing the Sermon on the Mount, our problems would be over. Our problems would be solved. It is the only message of hope today. It was a message that was in direct opposition. The message that Philip took to Samaria was in direct opposition to the lifestyle of the Samaritans. And it was in direct opposition to the thinking of the Samaritans. And it was in direct opposition to the demonic forces that were so active in Samaria. But it was what they needed. And it is no different today. It is still the message that people need today. In a world that is filled with evil, in a world that is filled with wickedness, in a world that is filled with sin, what they need to hear is the message of this book. That is the only solution. The only solution. The Republican Party does not have the solution to what ails the United States. The Democratic Party does not have the solution. The solution is in the Word of God. Politics is not the solution. That's a major part of the problem. Social programs are not the solution. The Word of God is the solution. Was the solution to what plagued Samaria, and it is the solution to what plagues man today. Now, I realize that people today are so educated that they dismiss the message of the Word of God as insulting to the educated mind. You see, they think that Christians don't think. They believe that Christians are incapable of thinking, that all they do is sing hymns somewhere. But this message is the message, the only message of hope. And though people scoff at the Word of God and turn to man's philosophies and man's remedies, none of those things will work. They never will. There's only one message of hope, and that's the same message that Philip took down to Samaria. You see, the only message that really explains the state of the world, why the world is the way it is, and why man is the way he is, the only message that explains that is right here. That's elementary. You have to know the problem before you can have a solution. And we live in a world, they don't even know the problem. And yet they offer solution after solution. They don't even know the problem. The Bible tells us what the problem is. The Bible tells us the problem is sin. And the solution is to repent. It's very simple. That'll fix just about anything. You see, the humanist cannot possibly have the answer. Because the humanist believes that there's nothing beyond man. Man cannot fix what we are experiencing today. He went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. Then notice verse 12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. The message that Philip preached was a message that called for acceptance, compliance, and obedience. The message of God always calls for those things. In other words, it's not just something to sit and think about. Well, this is what God's Word says. We're going to think about that. Well, you think about it from here to the Lord comes back, it's not going to do you any good. You have to conform to it. You have to conform to this message. So it is a message calling upon people to leave their own ways. The message that the world needs to hear today is leave your own ways. Leave the ways of Simon Magus. Leave the ways of Simon. Leave the sorceries of Simon. Leave all of those things and turn wholeheartedly to God. That is the only thing that will work. That is the message of the Old Testament prophets. Every single Old Testament prophet, God sent them. He sent them with a message. It was a message of repentance. It was the message of John the Baptist. It was the message of Jesus Christ. It was the message of the apostles. And it is the message of God's Word today. Repent and believe. That's the message. And that is the solution. There is no other solution. The misery will continue until folks repent and believe. And that's what happened in Samaria. They believed. And notice in verse 8, and there was great joy in that city. The result of listening to Philip rather than listening to Simon was the fact that it brought great joy to the city. The only way the world will ever return to sanity is to repent and to turn to God, to listen, to believe, to accept, to conform to the message of God. There will never be a return to sanity as long as we reject the message, because the very rejection of the message is insanity. So we are in trouble. And the trouble continues because man thinks that he will find the solutions to his problems by electing certain people to office. Well, this administration didn't work, so we'll elect another one. And you'll just keep on, keep on, keep on. None of it's going to work. Because the message is, repent. Repent. And turn to God. There was joy in the city as a result of coming to the realization concerning the truth of Jesus Christ. So before this, they gave heed to Simon. They gave regard to Simon, but what changed everything is verse 12, when they believed Philip. When they believed the message of God, things changed. And then notice verse 13, then Simon himself believed also. That's what we need today. Oh, we pray that God would open the hearts of some politicians and save their souls. And that's what happened here. And then Simon spent the rest of his life beholding the miracles and signs which were done. He wondered, he was just amazed at the things that God had done. I'm telling you today, there is only one message of hope for this world. And that is the message of the Word. That is the message of Jesus Christ. That is the message of the kingdom of God. It is the only thing that will work. It is the only thing that will bring sanity back to the United States. It's the only thing that will bring sanity back to the world. But today, we live in a time when there is the rejection of the only message that will work. It gets greater and greater all the time. And the opposition, the zeal, the energy to stamp out the only thing that will work is increasing all the time. But you and I that are saved, We know. We know there's only one thing that's going to work. And it's what God has told us. But that is not only true concerning our society. That's also true concerning your individual life as well. If your life is falling apart, nothing seems to go right, nothing seems right, you're miserable, you're unhappy, I'm telling you, your only hope today is the same message that Philip preached to Samaria. If you want to return to some sanity in your own life, you have to repent. And you have to turn wholeheartedly to God. That's where you have to start. And I promise you, if you will start there, things will begin to get better in your life. He's not going to eliminate every problem you've ever had. But you just obey God's word, you just do what God says, and things will be better. Things will be better with you personally. Things will be better with your relationship with your spouse. Things will be better with your relationship to other people. Things will be better in your home. Things will just be better. This is the message that Philip took to Samaria. And this is why they went everywhere. Because no matter where you go, no matter whose life you're talking about, this is the message that works. Works every time. Repent and believe. You can do that, or you can continue doing things your own way. And look where that's gotten you. You want to continue doing things your own way, or you want to do it God's way? God's way will work. Yours won't. That is always true. So God help us to realize, even in our individual lives, the message that Philip took to Samaria is what we need today in our lives. It's the only thing that'll work. For Larry.